As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, folks, welcome to it. It is a brand new, alive almost, edition of the Athletic Hockey Show coming your way late on a Wednesday evening, closing in on kind of midnight Eastern time here, but we're all wrapped up with the proceedings from Seattle with the expansion draft. Ian Mendes with you alongside our Seattle Kraken beat reporter Ryan S. Clark joining me here late on this Wednesday night. Late for me, late for you as well on the West Coast. Ryan S. Clark, at the end of a very busy day, I can't thank you enough for joining me and giving our listeners a little bit of insight into a historic day for you in Seattle.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for having me. And just as a programming note, if you hear any weird noises in the background, like a turn signal or me going over a bridge, it's because, well, I'm currently driving home at the moment, so I apologize for that.
Well, that's quite all right. Listen, we can appreciate the fact this has been a busy, busy stretch for you. So the fact that you can even squeeze us in is great. So, hey, listen, this is what I'm really curious about, Ryan, because we were all expecting 5 Pacific time, 8 Eastern time on Wednesday. We would tune in and these picks would be unveiled one by one and we'd be shocked. We'd be surprised. There'd be some drama, some intrigue. And instead, by the time we got to the early afternoon, the entire list had been leaked out. And so I'm wondering, what was the feel in Seattle and the feeling from league officials maybe that a lot of the hype and a lot of the drama and intrigue evaporated over the course of the afternoon?
You know, it all depends upon the source because, you know, there are fans who said that they saw it. And once they start seeing it take off, they decided, I'm getting off social. I'm going to wait and just watch it that way. There are people who understand that this is the age we live in where it's sort of this social contract everybody signs without really knowing they sign it. And it's no different than if you watch a television show or a movie. Like, you want to go see a movie or a TV show, or sorry, to watch a TV show, but you know you run the risk of it being spoiled on social. So it's like, how do you navigate that? While there are others who say, hey, look, I couldn't get enough. It was good to see what the team was going to look like, so that way I could have some time to kind of figure it out. But look, if you're the NHL and you're the Kraken, you understand that, like, there's a possibility that these things can happen.
So I think a lot of people were looking at this, Ryan, on Wednesday and thinking, okay, Ron Francis and the Kraken, they're going to make a whole bunch of side deals. And maybe it's not going to be kind of the extortionist price we saw with Vegas, but there's going to be a handful of deals. And yet it feels like we didn't really see anything. So walk us through what happened there and why didn't we see any side deals where, you know, Seattle maybe was able to pluck another asset or two from a different team.
Ron Francis made when he spoke with reporters was this, that yes, general managers had learned from the last few, well, the last expansion draft, about just kind of the way this whole thing works and how you don't necessarily want to give away a player. For many of them, it was sort of take who you need and we'll call it a day. And for others, there just may have been some prices that they felt were too high to pay and said, you know what, if this is how it has to be, then we can live with that decision. And so the reality of it is this, like, yes, you have a team that for now hasn't made any trades. Of course, those could be announced much later. And from it, we could see all sorts of things happen within the landscape of this team. Because right now, when you look at the roster, there are some questions people do have, namely in the top six, with where's the scoring going to come from beyond with who's already there? Are there things you do maybe in your middle six? Defense, are they set? And goaltending, it looks like they are. But when you look at the amount of cap space that they have, look, it's the buzzword or phrase, rather, that everybody keeps hearing right now, which is, this is a team that is going to weaponize their cap space. And when you think about it in that context, in that construct, what does weaponize look like? And one of the reasons, or one of the examples you could use, rather, is it's patience. They can afford to be patient. And for them, that's probably about using that patience to see what happens and what materializes over time.
So, Ryan, not willing to pay the price, I guess, pun intended, will take us right into the conversation around Carey Price, because I think there's a lot of people that once Carey Price's name came on the available list a few days ago, we thought, my goodness, Seattle can get off the ground running here, very much like how Vegas did with Marc-Andre Fleury. You've got Carey Price. Can you give us a sense of how seriously the Kraken considered taking Carey Price, or was this like a, nah, forget it, this guy's got 5 years left and $50 million? Thanks, but no thanks.
Francis talked about how they did their due diligence with medical in the sense of looking at certain players, what their medical history was. They looked at all these things like price, salary cap, and they just felt like for all the things that they wanted to look at, that they wanted to keep the economics in mind. And again, when you go back to how he operated in Carolina, that was the number one thing he had to do. Now, granted, the circumstances with the hurricane was there was an ownership group where they had to be judicious with how they spent. The Kraken's ownership group has said, hey, we give you the green light to spend. And it's not that Ron Francis isn't going to do that, but it's just he's only going to do that in a situation where he feels like there's few questions. And with someone like Carey Price, there were questions, and it's been talked about a lot this week. Like, for all the things Carey Price does, there are only two goaltenders in the NHL who are 30 and older this season who started more than 20 games in a 56-game season. One was Pekka Rinne, who went 10-2-1. The other one was Mike Smith, who was a 21-game winner. And when you have a gulf that large, is that really enough evidence for you to look at and say, which one could Carey Price be? Because he's 33 going on 34, and by the time that contract ends, he'd be 38 going on 39. And as we've seen in the flat cap era, there are teams that are hamstrung by large contracts. You know, we talk about the players who make over $10 million each, but it even doesn't have to be that. Like, we look at other deals around the league with these figures of $8, $9 million annually, and it can be difficult to make things work. And if you're the Kraken, it was all about how do you keep that financial flexibility so that way when you do invest your cap dollars, you know, okay, we feel comfortable with the value and knowing that it's going to be sustainable for as long as the contract exists.
So I would say when you look at the goaltending position, obviously they punt on Carey Price, but Ryan, they also punted on some other pretty good goalies that have backstopped their team to the Stanley Cup. Ben Bishop, Jonathan Quick, Tuukka Rask, but all of them have, you know, probably some health issues, some age issues, some cap issues. What's your feeling on the trio of goalies they selected on Wednesday night? So Chris Drieger from Florida comes in. He's essentially going to be the number one guy. You know, Vanacek was really good for Washington, thrust into a situation where he wasn't supposed to be the starter, but took some big minutes this season. And then they get Joey DeCord from Ottawa. They're not spending $5-7 million on goaltending, but do you feel like that trifecta will give them enough decent goaltending, or is there something else they might do here between the pipes?
Well, the thing is this, at minimum, you have a tandem, because with Drieger, one of the things you saw this year in Florida was when he was playing, that team was not only getting wins, but they were getting wins at a time when let's say if Bobrovsky was in the net and there was a little bit of a difficult outing defensively, Driedger provided that consistency. And not only that, but you get him at a term like 3.5 over 3 years, which that's a manageable term. You look at Vanecek, and for some people, there was a lot to like about what he did as someone who, again, you think about the way this season could have went. If Henrik Lundqvist is healthy, what does his season look like? Whereas if now you're talking about someone who, again, working in tandem, had some strong performances. And with Joey DeCour is someone that you can look at and you say, okay, you can bring him up in the event that you need a third goaltender. And it's something that you've seen a lot of teams do. But again, to go back to the finances of it all, you talked about Jonathan Quick. I believe Jonathan Quick's cap hit is what? Like five, I want to say, around five, or maybe a little bit more than five. Again, sitting on I-5, so I don't have the numbers in front of me. But when you look at what those three goaltenders cost, those three goaltenders cost around $5 million combined. And so when you think about it from that standpoint, like, yes, you're going to get savings, and it's the kind of savings that you can put elsewhere that allow you to do things. For example, like being able to take on Jamie Oleksiak and offer him a deal that made him say, I'd rather go here than go into the market. Or someone like a Mark Giordano, where with his cap hit over six, that's a contract that you can take on, and not just take on, but you can take on comfortably while still knowing you can go do other things.
And Ryan, we don't expect you to have cap friendly up on your dashboard while you're driving back home in Seattle, but Jonathan Quick does have two more years left at a cap hit of $5.8 million. That's the cap hit. The actual dollars paid out, it's a little bit less, I think, in terms of the base salary, but at least in the last year. But essentially, you're looking at a $5.8 million cap hit, and you're 100% right. You could have brought in Jonathan Quick at 5.8, or you could have three guys at under that price. And I think you're exactly right. I think that's exactly what they opted to do. You brought up a really interesting name in Mark Giordano. And here's a guy that was arguably the face of the franchise, or at least one of the stabilizing figures in the back end in Calgary. I would imagine probably some mixed emotions for Mark Giordano in leaving a place like Calgary. Is he your best bet right now if you were laying odds that he's the captain of the Seattle Kraken in year one?
You know, he was asked about that, and he said, you know, you don't necessarily need a letter to be a leader, but he wanted to do whatever he could, whatever the organization would ask of him in that role. Now, as for him leaving Calgary, he did talk about that, and he said, look, the possibility of it, you know, becoming real was something that, you know, it did hit him. And he's like, look, I understand the situation Brad Tree Living was in. And the way he talked about Trey Living, he was just like, you know, here's the reality of what he had to deal with. He's like, it does not change my relationship with Brad Trey Living. I still have so much respect for Brad Trey Living. And as far as the city of Calgary and those fans, I can't thank them enough. It's where I grew up. And like, that's just kind of the interesting thing about all this is like, when you look at the composite of this team, you know, these are players that some of them are at a certain age where like maybe they're at that age where having a new opportunity is a chance for them to jumpstart some things. For players that are a little bit further along in their career, it's a little bit of a new opportunity after being in a place for a while. But for someone like Giordano, like it's the reality of like, you are not only a captain, but you're a Norris Trophy winner. You're the face of a franchise, but now like you're going to a city and you're going to an organization that is completely new, but at the same time, you're going to be a foundational piece in the sense of how that operates. And so it's going to be interesting to see like how that sort of works. But to hear him speak, he definitely sounds like whatever the organization needs him to do, he'll do it. And I mean, yes, you expect to hear those things from people. But one of the themes you kept hearing from players that everyone spoke to was they all kept saying, we really liked what we kept hearing from Ron Francis about the vision of this team, what they want to do, where they want to go. And for us, it made us go, yeah, this is where we want to be.
And, you know, I think I look at Seattle in the back end. You feel like Mark Giordano, as you mentioned, you know, like this guy won a Norris Trophy a couple of years ago. He's probably going to be the anchor to this thing. They get Adam Larson. They get Oleksiak. Like, as I look at this team, if you had to ask me, Ryan, like looking from my view, which is kind of the 30,000-foot view versus you, and you're right in there, I like the makeup of this team on the blue line. And I'm thinking that's where they have a little bit of a position of strength, and it wouldn't surprise me if at some point in the days ahead, they took some of those defensemen and flipped them out, right?
Well, I mean, you look at it and it seems like that's what exactly could be the play. And that was kind of one of the big questions coming into this, and was like, what was going to be that position where maybe they pick up a few things and then you can flip those in the market. And from the sounds of it and the looks of it, maybe it is defenseman with some of the options they have. Just because, I mean, when you start looking at the names right there, it starts piling up really quickly about, okay, well, who is going to be on the outside looking in? And so when you have those kind of options, maybe those are players that you can use in other deals to sort of facilitate the movement you want and need to not only fill out what's, you know, the rest of the roster, but also when you look at what could happen with that top six.
Yeah, and you know, that's an excellent place to go right now, the top six, because there were some pretty big names available. Vlad Tarasenko, James Van Riemsdyk, Jake Voracek, Evgeny Dadonov. Like, these are guys, Ryan, who are perennial 20-goal, 30-goal guys, consistent producers in the game, and yet they passed on all of them. And as I look at this team up front, Ryan, I see, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm always willing to be wrong on things, I look at this top six and I say, I see Yanni Gord, he's a top six guy. I see Jordan Eberle, he's a top six guy. But beyond that, I don't really see too much.
You know, and that's the interesting part, is you kind of look at who are some of those middle six players who could be top six guys elsewhere. And let's start with a couple names. One of them being, could Mason Appleton be one? Maybe. It's hard to say at this point because we don't know what the roster is. You know, someone like Jonas Donskoy in Colorado had that experience. I mean, there are times where he was playing on the top line with Nathan MacKinnon when there were injuries there. So it's a possibility. So it's interesting. Kelly Yarncrook is another name of someone who maybe he's a top six forward with his team, or maybe he's a middle six. Again, that's where the makeup is interesting here. But when it comes to some of those names you mentioned, again, it just goes back to cap space, and it goes back to looking at all their options. Because you think about someone like Van Riemsdyk and the fact that points per game wise, it was the best season of his career. If it had been an 82 game season, he'd have set a new career high in that department. So that being said, you have to ask yourself, if you're the Kraken, is that a cap hit you're willing to pay for? And that's just it, is if you're them and you go into free agency, and this is where it gets interesting, you have the real opportunity to sort of set the terms here. Because the presumption is there's going to be few teams that are going to be able to challenge what you can do with money. There's an agent that I spoke to for a story we had at The Athletic about what does this team look like in free agency? What could they do? And one agent called them a unicorn because it's like no one can do what they do. And so maybe if you're the Kraken, you realize that. And then when it comes time to go into the market, you know that if it's someone you really and truly want, you can throw the sort of dollars at them that other people may not. But at the same time, you're only going to want to do that if you're 100% certain, and also you believe it's the best use of resources.
Two questions to wrap up this podcast with you, Ryan. Number one, we have a preliminary roster here. We know that some guys might move around. There's some additions that could be made. What's your confidence level with this group right now that they could potentially threaten for a playoff spot in that Pacific Division coming up this season?
It's really hard to say because you get the feeling that this roster isn't complete. And that's where, again, just you look at what they are. And so when it comes to predictions, it's just so hard to say. Because think of this as 48 hours ago when all these hypotheticals are out there. Yeah, absolutely. You add a few names. You fill in certain pieces. Sure, why not? But when you look at where this team is now, it appears like this is the unfinished product. And so because of that, it's just really, really difficult to say what this team would be, where would they go, and what their playoff chances might be.
And the final question for you, they kind of slid this news in there
final
tonight.
Final question, man. We got time. I'm just driving across Lake Washington. Oh, we're good.
You got time. Maybe I don't have any more questions, but listen, we don't want to keep you too long. But I do have one other question, which is they kind of slid this in, Ryan, tonight, and that is, look, the entire NHL schedule is going to be unveiled for the 2021-22 regular season on SportsCenter on ESPN, 6 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday. But they did let it slide. Seattle Kraken's home opener will take place October 23rd against, drumroll please, the Vancouver Canucks. And I want to know, from your perspective, Is that going to be the rivalry? Is there, I mean, or is it going to be Vegas? Is it going to be one of the California teams? Or is this such a natural kind of I-5 rivalry that this was the natural team to pick on opening night?
You know, it's possible because, I mean, there's quite a few reasons to look at. Like you said, one, there is the fact that it's the geography, they're close by. Two, it allows people who live in this city the opportunity to go up and see them without having to really make a long trip. But in terms of it being like a rivalry, you know, it's hard to say because everyone could go into a situation where you say this is going to be their rival, but then something else different happens. I mean, like, we saw it in the mid-90s with the Colorado Avalanche. Like, Denver and Detroit are nowhere near each other geographically, and yet it was one of the most bitter rivalries we've seen in the NHL. And it stayed that way for a long time. In fact, whenever the Avs play the Red Wings, like, there's still some of that among fans. I mean, it's not what it used to be, of course, but some of that still exists. And so when you look at where the rivalry could be, it's hard to say. I mean, yeah, maybe there could be. But then again, I mean, people thought the same thing when the Grizzlies came to Vancouver and the Sonics were still here and that this was going to be a rivalry. And it never really quite materialized that way. So again, it's just going to be really interesting to see how it all works.
Well, listen, Ryan, we truly do appreciate you taking some time, and this has been, I'm sure, a bananas day for you. And I'm thinking right now as we wrap up the S in Ryan S. Clark, it had better stand for sleep tonight, because my friend, you deserve a good night rest after this day that you put in tonight.
That's very, very kind of you to say, but no, I mean, I think right now is honestly when the work really begins, just because, I mean, now you have a roster, not saying that work doesn't start before, but now it's like, okay, this is real. And that's one of the things Ron Francis said when they were done with media. I got a chance to talk to him a little bit, and the last thing he said to me as he walked away was, yeah, now it's real. So there you go.
Well, yeah, listen, it feels real, and we do appreciate just you taking a few minutes to walk our listeners through kind of some of the thought processes that went behind some of the selections and what we might expect out of the Kraken in the days ahead. Thanks for this, Ryan, and we're looking forward to all your coverage here in the weeks and months ahead.
Hey, you got it. Thank you for having me.
All right, so thanks for this listening to this special edition of the Athletic Hockey Show as we broke down the coverage of the Seattle Kraken expansion draft with Ryan Clark. That was certainly insightful. We want to remind you, if you're not a subscriber with us at The Athletic, just visit theathletic.com/hockeyshow and you can get a subscription for just $3.99 a month.